The text for the sermon of this afternoon is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40, where we will focus on the verses 27 through 31. We will read those verses together one more time. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In response to the sermon, we'll sing together from Psalter number 49, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, every Sunday again, we begin our worship acknowledging our dependence upon our sovereign God with the confession that our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. We recognize that we depend and rely on God's power and care. But who is God, actually? If we listen to our Canadian society, we can hear all kinds of conflicting reports about Him, not only in the world, but even among Christians. Everyone tries to put his own spin on God. It doesn't matter how exactly you conceive of Him, as long as you believe. Ultimately, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, they all worship the same God. Or so the thought goes. Among Christians, the one emphasizes God's justice, another His mercy. Books like The Shack try to put a human touch on the doctrine of the Trinity, but fail miserably. What must God think when He sees His creatures muddle everything so? When God's own children begin to twist and warp who He is, then we find in the Scriptures that all God has to do is ask questions. We read that in the prophecy of Isaiah too. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Yes, God concludes His questions through Isaiah by saying, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Doesn't this remind you of the book of Job? Where from the chapters 38 to 41, the Lord asked Job question after question. Brace yourself like a man, God had said. I will question you and you shall answer me. And how did Job finally answer? I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Beloved, when you listen to questions like these, as we also read in our scripture passage, how do you respond? Why does God reveal Himself in this way, in all His glory, power, and majesty? The answer to that we will see in our text, summarized under this theme. The everlasting God gives hope to the depressed and strength to the weary. We'll see in the first place that we have questions, but God is the answer. And secondly, that we are weak, but God is strong. So our theme is the everlasting God gives hope to the depressed and strength to the weary. We have questions, but God is the answer. Whenever I read through those chapters in Job or Isaiah, I can't help but feel about an inch tall. Then I have to look around myself and indeed see, what a universe. The more the scientists study, the more they unveil the intricacies of God's creation. From the perfect detail in the human eye to the vastness of space, God has made it all. I have no doubt that when the physicists finally get their Large Hadron Collider up and running properly in Geneva, Switzerland, as they seek to study the smallest elements of the electrons, that we will see even more, that God has put everything together wonderfully, to the minutest of details, even in the makeup of protons and electrons. He looked at it all and saw that it was very good. Whenever you read a description of someone who is so strong and powerful, almighty and majestic, isn't it our inclination to think, so why should he care about me? Why could he care about my circumstances? Those were indeed Israel's questions as they listened to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah exposes what was in their thoughts and minds, the questions that may have even come to their lips. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just cause is claim is passed over by my God? Those were their ongoing questions. That's why the Spirit through Isaiah expresses them for us in the present tense. Why do you say? It wasn't only once that they asked their questions and uttered their complaints, but they continued to. They have asked, they do ask, and they will continue to ask them. And you can hear a hint of sadness in their questions too. My God has passed over my just claim. I thought he was my God. Why is my way hidden from him, the path of life I follow? God doesn't see us, Israel thought. He's too busy with everything else. He doesn't see us in our misery. Even more than that, Israel said, my just claim is passed over. That's in a way very modern terminology. I'm not receiving my rights, what I'm entitled to. Yes, our rights, that's been the watchword for the past number of years. Our own city, Winnipeg, will be home to the Canadian Museum for Human Rights. Certainly a lot of good has been done in the name of human rights. Just think of the way the world continues to frown on countries that have poor human rights records. That's why we try to improve the living conditions of impoverished nations. That's why there's such an outpouring in Haiti. But it's also gone the wrong way. When we think of homosexual rights or the right to choose, everywhere we are encouraged with the message to defend your rights, stand up for your rights. That's what Israel was complaining about. We're not getting our rights. God doesn't seem to care. That was the way they were speaking about the message which Isaiah proclaimed. And we can hardly blame them, can we? Certainly we would do no less in their place. After all, were they not the covenant people? That must have been foremost in their minds. We gather as much from the way Isaiah questions them. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel. Those names, Jacob and Israel, remind us of that covenant choosing. Jacob had struggled with God at the Jabbok, and so God renamed him Israel, because he had struggled against God and man and had overcome. The name Israel reminded them of their special place as God's covenant people. And yet now they receive the message from Isaiah that they're about to be sent into exile. Had God forgotten His covenant promises? Were they not the descendants of Abraham, the people who would be blessed and be a blessing? Was this land not promised to them? What was going on? Our way must be hidden from the Lord. Our just claim passed over. Doesn't God see our misery? Those are very real human questions, are they not? We ask them all the time. Even now, when we stand at the beginning of a whole new year with hopes of a new start, people always say, someday we can look back and then we'll know. We'll understand. Maybe true, but what about now? When we still have our questions, aren't we also exposed by Isaiah's questions? Why do you say, O people of God, my way is hidden from the Lord? We do say that too. It just doesn't seem fair. Where is God? Doesn't He see us? Is He perhaps preoccupied with other people, places? He wouldn't do that to us, would He? God's children have been asking questions like that for as long as history is recorded. Just think of the Psalms, which are full of those questions. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in days of trouble? Or Psalm 13, verse 1, as we sang. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Or even the well-known words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. And we could go on. Yes, we ask those questions too. Why did the Lord so quickly take our little brother Liam Whittable? Why does brother Bruce McGee have to go through a long battle with cancer? Why does it take so long to find a pastor and a teacher for this flock? Yes, we all have those questions. Aren't we inclined to say then too, my way is hidden from the Lord? My just claim is passed over by my God? The anonymous author of the poem Footprints hit it right on. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during my most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you most, you would leave me. Isn't that our first inclination? Beloved, just as the poem doesn't end there, as you may well know, neither does our scripture passage. We do have our questions. Because we live in a world full of sin and its results. But God is the answer. Notice, brothers and sisters, that we don't say God gives the answers. We don't always receive an answer, at least not the one that we might expect or hope for. But our text this afternoon demonstrates for us that we don't necessarily need an answer, but we must look to the answer. For Isaiah continues, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" And the implication is that they should know. For they have heard, just like we do every week again. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. The Lord, our text speaks of, He is Yahweh. He is the covenant God. I am who I am. Israel questioned that covenant God. Has God forgotten this covenant? But the Lord, He of the covenant, is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. God doesn't forget. He's beyond time. He's eternal. He always has been and He always will be. That's what His name Yahweh means. I am who I am. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He showed His power, His majesty, and His orderliness at creation. All of this creation is the work of His hands. He knows it. He's acquainted with it. Just look again at the images earlier in this chapter. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Isn't that an image of care and concern? Measuring waters by the handful. Or what about verse 22? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in? Doesn't that demonstrate His love for the world He made? To protect it from the sun's cancer-causing rays. Or verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created all these things. Who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. That doesn't say He's too far. He doesn't care. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, Isaiah says. Have you done that? Seen the stars on a dark night up north? How many there are? He calls them each by name. That doesn't say He's too far. He doesn't care. He neither faints nor is weary, verse 28 continues. His understanding is unsearchable. All of this creative work hasn't tired Him out. God's not weary of looking after the world He made like we would be. He's not like Baal, to whom Israel turns so often. Remember what Elijah did at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18, verse 27. Shout louder, Elijah had said to the priests of Baal. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. But that would never be our God. He never tires of caring for you. Your way is never hidden from Him. He will remain faithful as He always has been. The everlasting God. His understanding is unsearchable. That's the answer. He's the answer. That may not always be satisfying from our human perspective. But it's the answer God gives us. We don't always understand, and will not. But we must trust the truth of God. He is faithful, the covenant God, the Creator. Even if we read, His understanding is unsearchable, that doesn't mean that we cannot know God. On the contrary, He has shown us what we need to know. What He has revealed to us must be enough to assure us, to give us hope when we are depressed and full of questions. Since we are finite, we're going to be limited in understanding the Infinite One. And yet we must give Him the glory. That's the Apostle Paul's conclusion. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and to him and through him are all things. To him be glory forever. Beloved, the only thing that does weary God is our sin. That's what he says later in Isaiah 43, verse 24. You have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. It's those who live in sin who have legitimate reason to wonder about God's presence, His nearness. Those without true faith will have real reason to say, my way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over. But those who believe will find their hope in Christ, even in our struggle against sin. Yes, our sin, while it wearies God, can also make us depressed. So that we ask similar questions as before. Just like Paul in Romans 7. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then too, God is the answer. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Or in similar words to our text, we may turn to Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the everlasting God, the Word, through whom all things were created. When we keep our eyes on Christ in faith, then we receive the answer, our covenant God. Perhaps you'll say, there are not many really new things here today. But while we may know the answer, that doesn't mean that we will always feel the answer, because we are still so weak. Yet while we are weak, God is strong. That's our second point. Once again, as our text continues, we are reminded of our own humble circumstances, brought right into the world of our text, even if Isaiah lived some 2,800 years ago. Some things will certainly never change, no matter what our society tries. For we read together, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The youths are supposed to be the image of strength, the vigor of youth. That's the pursuit in our day and age, eternal youth. People do what they can to feel young. Perhaps some of you know the song from Alphaville in the 80s, Forever Young. I want to be forever young, they sing, echoing the sentiment of so many of their generation. Because youth is supposed to be synonymous with strength. But even the youths shall faint and be weary. And everyone knows that. We cannot be forever young. Another year has passed, the year 2009, and January is already over. We're all another year older. And with that aging comes weariness. Even the youth in our midst grow tired after a long school year, a busy semester in university or college. The boys and girls who seem to have so much energy, even they need a rest at the end of a long day. And the young men, they shall utterly fall, the prophecy continues. These young men Isaiah refers to, they are the select ones. The word for choosing is at the root of it. These young men, they are the handpicked for the army. Those selected at the training camp for being the best. In a few weeks, the Olympics will start in Vancouver. Then all the selected athletes will be together competing in the games. They've all gone through intense training, reaching their peak physical condition at the right time. They've come from national competitions in their home countries where they had to compete to represent their own country in Vancouver. They're supposed to be the finest athletes. Those young men and women are the kind Isaiah speaks of. But even they will utterly fall. We know that will happen at these Olympics too. Speed skaters miss an edge and fall. Figure skaters catch a pick and stumble. Skiers collapse from fatigue. And certainly it's no less for each of us. We might be tired from a busy day, or a busy week, or a busy month. In fact, I'm sure that many would say the entire past year has been exhausting. Time flies by. Much is accomplished. Much work completed. And so we know that it's very true what Isaiah says. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. We are weak, but God is strong. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Verse 29. And He does that for those who wait on Him. That is, those who wait with eager expectation. It's a waiting in faith. With a faith that might not yet see, but still believes. This waiting is not a weak and resigned hope. As though we say, well, there's always hope. But it's an energetic hope, an assurance that comes out of wrestling through challenging circumstances. That's the waiting our text speaks of. When we look in faith to the Lord and await from Him all that we need. For those who wait on Him shall renew their strength. And when we hear that word renew, then we should think of a change. Those who wait on Him will change strength, like someone might change into fresh clothes, or exchange an old thing for a new thing. When you put on a clean set of clothes after a hard work day, you feel refreshed, reinvigorated, ready to go again. Those who wait on the Lord will experience that change. And if that waiting is about expectation for Israel, then we know that it also directs us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was Israel's hope and expectation. Only in Christ can we find rest and strength. That's also what our Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples as we read in our other scripture passage. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When we in hope, in the hope of faith, cling to Christ, who is our hope and expectation, Then God promises us strength. Then towards the beginning of this new year, now that we've changed the calendar, changed the year, we can also start fresh, renewed by the Lord. Yes, today, starting a new week, we are renewed and refreshed by the Lord. For those who hope in Him will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And you can picture in your mind's eye the eagle, soaring effortlessly, strong and powerful. It looks as though they can go on forever with little effort. But that's because He's on the wind. God's wind. Our text is not suggesting that all our weaknesses will be gone. Certainly the week, the month, the year that lies ahead of us will also present struggles. The weakness of the flesh remains. But yet, we can take our confidence also in the words of our Lord to the Apostle Paul, when he prayed that that thorn would be removed from his side. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's why Paul concluded, and we can too, because of the words of our text, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Beloved, we can't focus on our own questions, on our own weaknesses, but we should look to our God, who is the answer and source of our strength. While He is the mighty, the majestic, the glorious, the everlasting God, He is also our Father in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as our Father, He is faithful and true. Through the words of our text, we can look back over the past and see what God has done. And we can look ahead into the future, knowing that He will provide the strength for whatever lies on our way. For our way is not hidden from the Lord, nor our just claim passed over by our God. Rather, let's conclude with Paul's words to the Philippians as the tone for our life in the Lord. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.